So I want to make sure I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
With respect to the prosecutor's choices about whom to prosecute. So you're saying that the issue here is not so much that the people who are prosecuted should not have been prosecuted,
exactly,
but that they're an incomplete set.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
And when you say that they're an incomplete set, one thing you could say is, well, it is the Tutsis, the RPF, that also need to be prosecuted. But maybe I also heard you say that beyond that, there are people beyond those, say, in Uganda or elsewhere, that you felt should also be prosecuted here as part of this tribunal?
I really hesitate to say, to put the parties in this compartment, Hutus, Tutsi, because we a notion has emerged where you have a group of people called Hutsi because of the marriages and all, one of them are called Hutsi, Hutu, Tutsi. And the people that speak the same language, they live in the same hills, they know themselves for so long. The RPF was not Tutsi, just as the government of Rwanda was not Hutu. They were mixed, so you find now you see the pattern in which the people are fleeing the country. Even now you find so many Tutsi were even the RPF fleeing the country today. You find even the king, who is now in the US, the was Tutsi, he's in the US, he can't come back to the country because Kagame is saying you come back as an ordinary citizen. Yet this was the symbol of power before the revolution in 1958. And it's more even acceptable to the Hutus now than even the Tutsi. So I hesitate to put it that way. I just say that the perpetrators of the crimes that were committed by RPF, and by RPF, you find that they were soldiers of the National Resistance Army of Uganda that formed part of the RPF. And you find also that when the Muslim investigated the assassination of the three Tutsi presidents, two of Burundi and one of Rwanda, if the prosecutor, because it falls within the mandate of the prosecutor to investigate and go after the perpetrators, if that were to be done, if they were to persecute some other PF, take note, before April 1994, the soldiers of the Rwandan army then did not control the entire territory. Large portion of the territory were under the control of the RPF, yet thousands were massacred there. Somebody ought to be held accountable for that. The United Nations tried to organize an election there, and all the Hutus who won the elections, because the RPF lost, all of them were killed. And in the course of this trial, we had many RPF officers coming to testify in closed session for their own protection. Yes, we were asked to kill this number of people. Or in Bwemba, Kagame, 250,000 people in the stadium, and Kagame asked to kill all of them. Or immediately after the shooting down of the plane, Kagame left Mulindi, the north, and came to Musha near Kigali, Kigali Rura, and he sent a company of 160 soldiers that cleared this corridor. Any person you find cleared the corridor for him to be able to come close to the capital. Now this is the evidence which the prosecutor was hiding for so long. You must have heard about the decision we had on the 23rd of September 2008. Exculpatory evidence that the prosecutor was hiding. Trial Chamber 2 ordered that this exculpatory evidence should be disclosed to the defense forthwith, and held the prosecutor in contempt by saying that you are the Minister of Justice. You should be seen as doing justice, not only in this trial, but to the international community, and that he should be served personally. Now he has disclosed some of the material. What does that material contain? Crimes of the RPF. Why has he not prosecuted them?
And
crimes ascribed to the accused in this case. You committed these murders. This disclosed material now shows that witnesses from whom he took statement in 2002 are saying that he got a statement from them, a statement about the perpetration of the crime by the PF. The assassination of Javier Amana. The evidence emerged. The witnesses coming to the session, we were the ones. We were on the spot. We were the ones who took part in the assassination. He kept the information. Why has he not prosecuted them? The only answer is this, that he is submitting himself to political influence. There can be no other explanation for this. At least officially, the tribunal is going to end, perhaps this year, perhaps next year. The official statement from the prosecutor every day is that we are investigating the RPF. Do not mind, the indictments will come. That is the official statement. If he said that, I found no evidence at all, one would understand. But that's not the case here. So we're not saying that the Tutsi or Hutu, no. Mm-hmm. We're saying that the perpetrators, mm-hmm. crimes have no ethnicity. Mm-hmm. A criminal is a criminal. There's a presumption of innocence, though, mm-hmm. for everyone until they're found guilty. But if there's an indicia of, it leads to the fact that crimes have been committed or might have been committed, they want at least the prosecution to be able to say no. And the prosecutor should be accountable to someone if he didn't do this. Mm-hmm. It cannot be independence of the prosecutor office, cannot equate impunity mm-hmm. on the part of the prosecutor.